Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It's Do the Right Thing! Yeah!
Welcome to the podcast panel show that wants to do the right thing in any situation. For example, what is the right way to make a chocolate mousse? Hold the antlers and dip it in bum first. I'm Danielle Ward, and with me trying to do the right thing today, on my left, an Englishman's idea of an Irishman. It's Michael Lay. And with him, she's like a scarecrow of Sue Perkins. It's Lou Conrad. And on my right, a nun's idea of a slag is Margaret Cables. And with her, he's Mr. Beef and Dairy Network, the natural enemy of arch-vegan vigilante the Leg Man. It's Ben Partridge. Like a circle in a spiral, like a round one in a quiz, it's the importance of being right. Just like the Queen's assistant who ordered a framed print of Prince Albert from a Soho art shop, I've run into some trouble online. In this round, I'm going to give each team a scenario, and they're going to tell me what is the right thing to do according to Sarah HTML Geller. That's the best one of those I've ever written. That's it. There's no more jokes now. It's fine.
Don't worry. There's nothing else funny in it. You can just
relax. All of the jokes finished. Right. Michael and Lou, remember that sex tape you made with tiny little Prince Rogers Nelson?
Sure.
Well, the internet has gotten hold of it and they've gone, let's go crazy. Suddenly you're being interviewed by Oprah and Piers Morgan and a child on YouTube who calls himself Influencer 101. While enjoying your time in the USA, you pop into Netflix's headquarters to discuss turning your sexploits into a 23-part series, one episode for every position. You've just opened a bottle of water that looks exactly like a carton of milk when the earth begins to move. Prince is that sexy, he can bring you to orgasm from beyond the grave. But oh no, it's not the ghost of Prince, it's an actual earthquake. So what is the right thing to do if you're indoors and an earthquake strikes? According to earthquakecountry.org. Well, there we go. Have you ever been in an earthquake?
Yep, in 1980 and in 1982.
Oh.
Yeah, it was quite a long earthquake.
It's just a euphemism for the troubles.
Well, I was in San Francisco, which is where they make earthquakes, both times. But you know what? Apparently they happen all the time in San Francisco. Apparently they're bored of earthquakes. Sick of them. Coming over here, wobbling.
Have you ever made a sex tape? That was my follow-up question.
Yeah, I mean, probably an audio one, you know. Oh. As a comedian, you've got to record everything you do and then listen back to it and see what was funny. So anytime I make sweet love to...
yourself.
Yeah, or horrible love to a person. I mean, I always feel it's necessary to listen back to the recording and see where I went wrong.
On another, have you ever... This is a side question. Have you ever wanked while looking in a mirror?
Oh, my God.
Just to see your sex face?
He has. Of course he has. Look at him.
I don't have a sex face. It's just like... It's a cross between... sorry, and look, it's nearly over. They might be the same thing. But you know, I don't have a sex face.
No, the only way you would not have a sex face is if you did something different every time. Are you really saying you do a different face every time?
Yeah, I do.
Right. We're going to have to see them.
I am known as the man of four faces. I've had sex four times.
Do one now. Oh, no. And I'm trying to, in my head, I'm trying to hear what the recording that goes with that face is.
Lou, have you ever been in a life-threatening situation?
Oh, yeah, I have. I have also been in an earthquake.
Yeah, brilliant.
In Manchester.
That's not an earthquake.
Oh, here we go with the IRA bombing.
No, we weren't sure. I lived in a very haunted house and we couldn't decide whether it was a poltergeist activity or whether it was an earthquake, and neither are plausible, but we went with earthquake. Yeah, the bed shot across the room. It was brilliant.
Was it on wheels?
Yes, it was, yes.
How haunted was this house?
Oh, really? Yeah! Ooh! My bedroom door used to just open all the time on its own. I know.
When the door opened, did you then see Michael Legg's hand pushing in some recording equipment?
And a mirror. Those ones that go under the cars just to check things. I bet you... Anyway. The whole...
That used to be my job as a child, and that's true.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, my parents, before I went to school, they'd go, check under the car to see if there's a bomb, and that's true.
You were the most expendable in the family.
Five kids, mate. Five kids.
Margaret, surely you've not been in an earthquake.
I've had a very rumbly tummy. Is that...
You've been in
that's
any...
the most danger I've ever been in.
With your earthquakes, did you feel like your life was threatened? Not in Manchester, surely.
Well, why not? It's just as legitimate as anybody else's earthquake. I felt threatened. I was scared. I skidded across the room. That's enough, isn't it? I hunkered down.
I just asked my dad what that was.
Oh, were you with your dad?
Yeah, I was a child in 1980.
I forget.
I wasn't just taking a year off to go travelling at 11.
What did you do in your earthquake in San Francisco as an
11-year-old? I asked my dad what that was.
And what did he say?
He said, it's an earthquake. And then he laughed and laughed and laughed and drank.
Said, get under that car, Michael.
Sure.
Safest. Ben Partridge, you've never made a sex tape.
No, not one that's ever sort of got any traction online.
Quite early on, knowing Ben Partridge, he did say, oh, it's a lot of hassle, I'd go for a cuddle every time.
Yeah, my cuddle tape isn't doing anything online.
You're quite old, Margaret. You must have taken some Polaroids. Polaroids in the bedroom.
You must have taken some Polaroids. I did take a Polaroid once, and I was just appalled by how squalid my house looked.
I should have saved a sex tape question for a different panel. Like a sex tape panel.
Okay, we'll finally ask the question.
Danielle, have you made a sex tape?
No. I sort of made one. Yes.
Was it,
I
not just with the ghost?
No. Well, he might as well have been of all the fucking use he was. But it was quite new in the relationship and we were sort of, you know, busy all the time. He's interested, isn't he? Look at him. And some friends of mine were perverts. And they said, oh, just for a giggle, why don't you make us a tape back in the day when it was like VCR tape? So we pretended to make this tape. We were just having a riot tick about it, so it was funny. And then what we did is we ordered a taxi and got in the taxi and sent the taxi driver to deliver it to the front door and say that some friends of yours have delivered this tape while we were hid under the window watching to see whether they would actually watch it, and they didn't. And we were sat under the window for hours waiting for them to watch it, and then we just walked home.
So, right, we'll simplify the question. Should you try and get outside in an earthquake? You're indoors. Should you try and get outside?
I think you should try and get away from the earth. So go up. Jetpack! Use your jetpack, everyone.
Well, aren't you supposed to get under something tough?
Like a fireman.
Yeah. Like a doorway or something like that. Aren't you supposed to just hide in a doorway?
Yes, or a dog cage.
Or a dog cage.
Or a dog cage.
aren't you? Doorway, dog cage, under a table.
Yeah.
How high up are you?
You're just inside.
And you're making a sex tape.
Ground floor.
You're making a sex tape. Right. Do you dismount first? Or do you try and roll under the table, keeping it all locked together?
Depends how tough your partner is. You know, if you're with Ross Kemp, keep him above you. Lock him down. I don't know why I'm thinking about Ross Kemp.
Great, now we're all thinking about Ross Kemp.
That's why we always stick with missionary, just in case there's an earthquake. And some falling masonry.
What about running towards the sea? Yeah, that'll trick the earth. If you run towards the sea, is there an earthquake in the sea? Because it must be.
That isn't that what causes tsunamis?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, experts. Sorry, is the question, how do you escape an earthquake? Well, I have escaped.
Die in a tsunami.
It's the Kobayashi Maru. I cheated, but I won. And that is a brilliant joke. That fucking stays in the edit, right? I mean,
as does that.
Make sure that clap. can you no, everyone shout that clap one more time. Okay. That was too enthusiastic.
They'll know that wasn't true.
I liked the previous apathy.
So jump in some water, stand in a doorway, get in a dog cage, or put Ross Kemp on top of you, which I think might get a point. Or under a table.
Yeah.
Ben, is anybody even close?
Ben Partridge is very close. According to earthquakecountry.org, so to answer the first question, do not go outside. Exterior walls are very dangerous, as windows and facades are often the first parts of the building to break away. Instead, stay indoors and remember the three-point plan. Drop, cover, and hold on. So actually, minus one for Michael, saying he'd run outside to the sea. So,
did I say run? That doesn't sound like me. Uber.
The sea, please.
3 stars.
Anyway, so drop where you are, onto your hands and knees. Earthquakes may be so violent that you can't run and are knocked to the ground where you're standing. So it's best to drop before the earthquake drops you. You can then crawl if there's shelter nearby. Earthquake studies show that you're much more likely to be injured by falling or flying objects than to die in a collapsed building. So cover your head and neck with one arm and hand.
And or Ross
Kemp. I guess if that is Ross... Okay, a point for Ross Kemp there, because he's got an arm and a hand. If a sturdy table is near, point for Ben, crawl underneath it. If no shelter is near, crawl next to an interior wall. Stay on your knees and bend over to protect vital organs. Lou, I'm going to give you a point for saying get under something tough, but I'm going to take that point away for saying doorway, because they say don't stand in a doorway. They're no stronger than any other part of the house and won't protect you from falling or flying objects. But Lou, the bed you were in.
Yes.
Did you stay in the bed while the earthquake happened? Or were you?
Yes.
Okay, so a point for you. If you're in bed, the best thing to do is to stay there and cover your head with a pillow. And then,
to be fair, that advice stands for most situations, isn't it?
And then hold on. Hold on until the shaking stops. If you're under a shelter, hold on to it with one hand and be ready to move if it shifts. If you haven't found shelter, hold on to your head and neck with both arms and hands.
Oh. Margaret and Ben, it's dark. You can smell burning. What happened? One minute we were all getting giddy on free Prosecco whilst watching Bridesmaids on a tiny screen, and now nothing. Fucking hell, mate, I think the plane crashed. Yeah, that's it. As you cling to each other, a voice calls out, does anyone have any brownies? I'm so hungry for brownies. Luckily, you both do, as you're excellent brownie cooks. You offer a brownie to the man lying next to you. This is the best brownie ever, he exclaims. I'm very rich and I want to go into business with you. I'll give you £1 million for a 5% share. He offers a beaten and bloody palm. This is your big chance at the big time. So what is the right way to shake hands according to thespruce.com? See, I don't like shaking hands. Do you like shaking hands?
I'm not a massive fan, but I really hate a limp handshake. Yeah. It is a wet one. Yeah, it's the worst. My friend Jeremy Lim, friend of the show, who did an episode back in Series 3, he has an amazing story about... he did a concert for Prince Philip, and he did that line-up at the end where everyone shakes hands and has a little boring conversation. And Prince Philip, when he got to Jeremy, he put his hand out, and as their hands met... the fire alarm went off incredibly loudly and stopped as suddenly as it began. But Prince Philip
as their hands met, and this happened, just went, "Duh!" Dropped his hand, and then when it went off, just moved on. So I think he must have thought, oh, that was the fire alarm shake. His hand was an alarm. And that's how powerful a handshake should be.
Ben, have you ever practiced a handshake?
No.
It's one of those things that I always worry I've got a bad handshake. Well, and I always think I'll practice and then I never do.
There's a kind of scale, isn't there? So on one end there's the limp, wet, cold kind of pedo shake. Mm.
The Jacob Rees-Mogg.
Yeah. One of the least popular milkshake options in McDonald's for many years. And then at the other end is the kind of, you meet like a bloke, how's it going? Brilliant! And he's kind of ex-army, and they do the crushing hand thing. Mm. Do women do that as well, or is that just a man thing, right? Where you...
Yeah, they don't really do hand crushing.
Michael, you must have come across these people. Vice-like grip.
Yeah.
You respect them?
No, anyone who wants to hurt me, I don't respect them. I don't like them at all.
Michael, would you rather have a wet pedo handshake or a Donald Trump special?
Oh, God.
Which is easier to deal with?
A wet pedo. Do you know, it's one thing that disgusts me more than a fucking paedophile. It's one that's just got out of the shower. Hate make me sick. I don't like shaking hands, man. And you're right, I don't... Well, I think you can shake hands with someone. Obviously, that's totally fine. I don't like shaking hands with a friend. It seems weird.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? It's just like, hey, how you doing? I thought we were friends, and now this is formal. It's weird. But I did a gig, I'd say, maybe about 3-4 years ago. I'd never met the promoter before. It was like a horrible winter's night. And I got into the venue, and there he was. And I just went, hey, mate, and put my hand out and shook his hand. And I just, oh, God, your hands are cold. And he went, no, my feet are cold. I don't have hands. So that was weird.
What?
Yeah, he literally had fake hands.
Oh, I thought he'd given you his feet, his foot shape, and you'd managed not to notice. His feet in his suit? Yeah. I don't know. What?
Edit that bit out. I want the listeners to go, that was weird.
I hate it when you compare, don't you?
Yeah.
Do you shake hands with people as they come on stage? Because I hate that.
Yeah, yeah. And also, half the time you hate them. A friend of mine was emceeing at this gig and really hated one of the guys that she was working with. And just before he came on, she went to the toilet, pissed all over her hand, came back on stage, and then just went, oh, please welcome. Oh, have a great gig. And then just walked off and she went, I've just pissed all over my hand. I was like, yes.
Of course, piss is sterile.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So it probably made her hand a bit cleaner than before.
They should have that at, you know, the door of every ward of a hospital instead of that. Waste that money at soap. Why don't you just have piss?
if you ask a scientist who knows about these things, shaking hands, you may as well rub your nose in their anus. For how hygienic that is. It's the least hygienic thing you could ever do with someone else.
Yeah.
Up to and including rimming, basically. But, you know, no one does that on this morning, do they?
I had a real problem when I first started doing comedy that I don't like being hugged, and I'd much rather have a wet handshake than a hug. I don't like the hugging.
Because you're working class.
Genuinely, that's why I've never had a wax.
I didn't know what you were going to say. God!
Do they tend to hug you after a wax? They're there.
You're going to the wrong waxing places and they're crawling all over you. No, you see, I prefer a hug to a handshake. Handshakes make me feel...
I do, because I don't have much contact with anybody.
Do ghosts offer handshakes or hugs?
Oh, yeah.
Just wondered in your haunted house how
tactile they
were. Yeah.
No.
Because I've seen Paranormal Activity and it seems that all ghosts do is push things off shelves.
Well, there is that, yeah. And then there was one night a man got into bed with me.
A ghost man?
Yeah, which wasn't unusual in those days. But this one was dead. So, yeah. Yeah, I noticed that I felt the bed dip. And then I looked over and there was this sort of man was like, shh, shh, And I was like, oh, okay. And then I sort of thought, oh, that's a bit odd, isn't it? And then I looked again and he weren't there. Please edit this out.
Why have we not asked Danielle what the fuck she meant by practicing a handshake?
Yes, good point.
So I, as a woman, going in the industry, I want to have a firm handshake and I worry that mine's really crap. Oh. I don't think it's very...
Oh, is it Lou's, quite
Lou and Danielle are doing one now.
Yeah, yeah. It's quite sturdy.
But you also practice your kind of opening line, like, hi, Danielle Ward, Imagineer. You know.
You've got tiny hands, so now I feel like I'm doing the pedo shake because you've got tiny
hands. A child's hand.
Yes.
Can we get doing the pedo shake into the charts?
Plenty of producers who would help out.
So are you going? Are you going for power?
Is yeah, that I want to be powerful. I want to be a powerful woman.
You grab them past the wrist. You grab their forearm, pull them in close, and just go. I will destroy you. Yeah. And then just act like you didn't do it.
I tell you what. I don't like when I don't really know someone that well, and instead of a handshake, they want to give you a kiss on the cheek. I can sort of deal with that, but sometimes, has this ever happened? They kiss you on the mouth. Yeah?
No.
No.
Who does that?
Name them.
Casper the Friendly Ghost. Do you not know people that kiss you and they do...
Oh, yeah, actually, yeah, there's a radio producer who does that.
Oh, it's wrong.
Yeah, I don't like it. Creepy, weird.
No.
And then finger up the arse.
Yeah.
Pete Postlethwaite spat on my bottom lip once, and then... So I stood there going... And then it was a bit embarrassing. So he obviously thought, oh, I've just spat on her bottom lip. And it was clearly there. So obviously there was that split second of like, oh, we'll just crash on and pretend this hasn't happened. So I thought, So I went to kiss him that way. And he went to kiss me that way. And all that happened was we went like that. And he sucked my bottom lip.
Oh, my God.
And I was
In
like...
the name of the Father.
Oh, no. But I took it because I hadn't got off with anyone for ages, so I was quite happy with that.
How close
and now
to,
he's dead.
To death, was he?
Is he dead?
Yes.
Yeah. That was who got in my bed! I've not kissed any dead people. I'm very polite. If someone spits on me, I just leave it. Spits there, you... isn't it, Ben?
Yeah, famously. Yeah. You can.
No diseases off spit.
You can clean out a wound with spit if you've run out of spunk.
Oh, my God.
Irrigates the wound, yes.
Simplified question. How long should a handshake last?
Ooh.
A second and a half.
Per finger?
How do you shake hands?
I think as long as you can get away with.
Yes, I've noticed you're still shaking hands with someone.
Yeah, like, really push it. So, if possible, a minute. And I'm not joking. I think if you can... Because you're establishing a weird... pheromone bond with that person that they can't deny in their animal brain.
If this is the real answer, Ben, I'll be very surprised.
I'm going for the point here.
You're imprinting on them like a baby duck.
Yes, exactly, yes. Yeah, they want to suckle me by the end of it. Or the other way around, whatever it is. I would be their duck mother. That's what I want to do. That's the answer, right, Ben?
The others haven't given an answer. Yeah.
That's because I've got it right, so there's no point.
Michael, Lou, how long?
It shouldn't end. Once you're committed, if you shake my hand, that hand is mine. My hand, man.
Lou? As quickly as possible, so it's over and done with. A second.
A little tickle.
A stroke.
Yeah, just a...
Like that.
Yeah.
Ben, anybody got any points?
Right. Ah. Thanks for those, everybody. So, according to the spruce.com, a handshake should be 2 to 5 seconds long. And if the other person continues holding on longer than this, politely withdraw your hand. So I'm going to take a point off Ben and Michael for saying it should go on forever. Margaret, I'm afraid you missed it, but Lou did say 2 seconds. No, Lou said 2 seconds.
She said 1 second.
Yeah, but then she said 2 seconds afterwards.
I said 1 to 2.
So, point to Lou. Here are their other tips. Look the person in the eye as you shake hands.
Ooh. Oh, God. If you... Yeah.
And mouth something.
We'll get into that. So this next point, I'm going to give Margaret and Ben a point each. Your handshake should be firm but not crushing. Point for Ben. Offering a limp hand will appear weak. If the other person offers a limp hand, give a gentle squeeze. This can be a cue for him or her to grip more firmly. So, point each for that.
So complicated.
Well, it is complicated because their next tip is shake hands in an up and down motion. The handshake shouldn't go back and forth or side to side. We didn't touch on this, but be aware of your other hand. Ideally, it should be visible and unclenched.
Wave at them.
And point for Danielle, really, because their last tip is practice shaking hands with friends or family members before you start shaking the hands of strangers.
Bollocks! No!
At the end of that round, Ben, what are the points?
Well, you've got one.
I got one, yeah.
The points are Lou and Michael have got one, Margaret and Ben have got four.
Hey, thanks for listening to Do The Right Thing. Please support us, because we want to make more episodes. So go to comedy.co.uk/DTRT/donate. And maybe you can make a little contribution of money so that we can make future episodes. Plus, you'll get a badge that says, I am not a cunt. Or you can not send us anything, and we will send you a badge that says, I am a cunt. So it's up to you.
Please note, badges not available.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Please, sir, can I have some agony?
So in this round, I'll be getting the panel to solve some problems from our audience. But before that, I'm going to start them off with a letter sent to a real agony aunt and see just how bad they are as human beings. So, Margaret, would you please read it out?
Dear agony aunt, I used to suck my thumb as a child. My parents tried for years to break my bad habit, but it wasn't until I started going to slumber parties at 16 that I stopped. I am now 27, and a few months ago, I woke up with my thumb in my mouth. Since then, I have caught myself sucking my thumb in the middle of the night. It seems to happen when I'm really tired. I am now in a committed relationship and would die of embarrassment if my boyfriend saw me doing it. How can I stop once and for all?
Mm. Michael, do you...
Scissors.
Do you suck your thumb?
Never. I used to go out with someone who sucked their thumb and thought it was cute. Yeah. It was fucking awful.
Did you ever...
was eight.
Did you mention it to her?
Yeah. And I just went, it looks really like there's something wrong with you. She said, I just found it really comforting. Oh, no, I found it really creepy. We're not together anymore.
No, in an adult, it's absolutely the worst. I mean, you should be denied access to the NHS. You know, state pension, no matter how much NI you've paid, I don't care. You're not getting it. You know, like, no, as an adult, disgusting. I'm with Michael, yeah.
It's not that bad, is it? There's loads worse.
It's fucking moronic.
Michael, it would have been worse if she was a bedwetter, surely.
Yeah, because that's my thing. Now, let me have my thing.
Yeah, she was traumatised by your bedwetter.
But it's hygienic.
What advice would you give someone who wanted to not suck their thumb?
What advice could there possibly be? Like, whoever wrote that is a nutter. Oh, did you write it?
Yes! I'm 27. Of course I am.
I mean, there's no
She's one. Doing it accidentally. She's not saying, and I've taken it up again, you know, because I think it's sexy. Cute.
Yeah, but could it not be the beginning of, like, a horrible regression where, like, next week she's, like, shitting in a nappy.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, it can go, you know.
Ben, have you ever sucked your thumb?
Yes, I did for... A bit too long, really. 10 or 11 years? That's too long, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think it was...
Well,
that...
it depends on when it started. That would be really weird.
Yeah, but I just sort of... just manned up, guys, you know. Get to a certain age and... time to become a man, I kill my first person. And I had to leave those childish things behind.
Did your mum coat your thumbs with something disgusting?
We tried that, yeah. Cat shit.
But it is yummy, isn't it? It's surprising. It's,
yeah, you it get you sterile. Get a taste for it. It's like olives. especially the stuff, the cat shit stuffed with pimento.
Ooh!
When you stopped doing it, did you get like a carrot or something instead?
No.
Whittled into the shape of a thumb.
Because that'd be better, wouldn't it? Much less embarrassing.
Do you do anything weird when you're tired, Lou?
No.
Sleeps with ghosts.
Yeah. What do I do when I'm tired? Oh, I love a good episode of Midsummer Murders. So,
just shove that in your mouth.
Yeah, I'll just pop that on and that sends me right off.
Margaret. So the first time you are with a sexual partner,
yes.
Is there anything that you're worried about them discovering at night?
Oh, God. Yeah, I've been with my partner a really long time now, and I've... I've just started doing all the disgusting things all the time. No, I mean, not in a sexual way, in a picking my feet way and that sort of thing. Yeah.
Do you pick your feet in one place and leave a little pile, or do you spread it around the house?
I put them on eBay.
The science behind this, I think, is that you suck your thumb because it takes you back to the womb. Because I think a lot of children that suck their thumb up when they were in the womb, I think, is where it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's about taking yourself back to that comforting womb-like state.
Yeah.
So maybe instead...
So you just got in a bag full of water.
Exactly. You know, get in a sleeping bag, dosed with the scent of placenta. Placented sleeping bag. And maybe that would do the job, and then that would be much more horrifying for the boyfriend in a way.
Only in a way.
But at least she's got both hands free.
I'd get a Sharpie,
yeah.
And then I'd draw a penis on her thumb, so that when she's sucking it, that's people are like, oh, she's... Yeah, and then she'd die from the poisoning.
I just think if you're a grown adult and you suck your thumb... we should still be allowed to abort you. That's my opinion. It's my choice. Don't you dare tell me I'm wrong.
That's got to be the answer.
Who has come close?
So the real agony aunt in this case was Dear Abby at uexpress.com, and she said, I've heard from other adults who suck their thumbs, so comfort yourself with the thought that it's not all that unusual. I mean, who sucks their thumb? Show of hands.
After they heard that, they're not going to admit it. Michael's going to try and abort them.
Anyway, she then says, something triggered your return to this after quitting for 11 years. Consider keeping a journal to identify what's going on before your thumb-sucking episodes so you can learn what may be causing them. One way to fix the problem would be to avoid getting tired. Another would be to coat your thumbs with a bitter or bad-tasting substance at bedtime. So I'm going to give Lou a point for Sharpie and Ben a point for cat shit. You could also apply hand cream and wear cotton gloves to bed. However, if that doesn't do the trick, simply level with your boyfriend and ask him if it's a deal-breaker. Which, if the boyfriend is Michael, it will be.
And it always is. Your boyfriend is always me.
Horrible nightmare.
So now you've seen how a real agony aunt does it, let's deal with some problems from tonight's audience. Is Chris here? Chris with the garden. I'll read it out. We have a dead rat in our garden. We don't want to call the council and we don't want to touch it. It's been about a month. Any creative solutions?
Why don't you want to call the council?
It's faff, isn't it?
You just want to get rid of a rat?
Just a
and
rat.
It's dead?
It's a dead rat and it's just annoying, but I really know what
oh,
to
it
do
is
with
annoying,
it.
Yeah.
It is annoying, yeah.
The noise.
I can't believe you've just left it a month, though, you lazy bastard. Why don't you dig a hole and just shove it in the hole?
Or impale it on a spike as a lesson to other rats.
You shall not pass!
You just get a stick and roll it into next door.
This happened to me.
Yeah?
But not with a rat. With my grand... No. With a fox. There was a dead fox in my garden, and I was about to go on holiday the morning we found it.
With the fox?
And the travel insurance wouldn't hear of it. Yeah. They just love Spain.
So what did you do with the fox?
So I was going away. So I said to my flatmates, you're going to have to deal with this because I'm literally getting a flight. I got back 2 weeks later. It was still there. Oh. It looked exactly the same, but had inflated.
Yeah.
And I said to my flatmate, why didn't you do something about it? And he said, I thought nature would deal with it. Like, I think he genuinely thought if he left it for 2 weeks, it would just be a skeleton in the garden.
Or a vulture would come and take it away.
Exactly. So then I was like, right, we've got to do something with this. So I cajoled them into going outside. We got a bin bag, double bagged, two bags. I mean, you have to deal with it early because as soon as we picked it up, like a sort of faulty set of bagpipes, all this gas streamed out of its mouth.
Oh, my God!
Death gas. And it made a noise, a bit like Prince Philip when he shook your friend's hand. And it was one of the worst experiences of my life. So I would say, deal with it early. It might be too late for you.
It's been a month.
Yeah, but there'll be less gas in a rat, won't there? Maybe just like stamp on it first to get the gas out. You know. Or you could make a sort of Animals of Farthingwood puppet show.
Yeah.
Bit of fun. If you can find a heron and a badger, you'll...
Do you know, what does it? What does it look like at the moment?
It's just getting worse.
Can you describe it?
Well, it was frozen for a week because of the snow.
See, you should have got rid of it while it was frozen.
Yeah, that was the golden time to do it.
The regret in your voice is amazing. My aunt, my mum lived in rural Canada when she was young, and my aunt, for a pet for a bit, had half a frozen dead crow in a basket. It's really, really sad. Yeah.
What?
Sorry. Is that as weird as Michael's foot story?
In what meaningful sense is that a pet?
Well, she gave it a name and you know,
fed it.
Petted it.
Yeah. Chris, has anybody given you a solution to your problem?
I quite like the putting the rat on a stick as a warning to the other rats. Thank you, Ben.
See, points to Ben. Have we got Liz here?
Hiya.
Hi, Liz. Liz's problem is, my child won't stop eating food he finds on the street.
There's a rat nearby.
Yeah, exactly.
Just today, he lay down to lick a frappe-covered straw that was on the pavement. He also collects and chews used chewing gum on the underground. How can I stop him?
Do you know what? It's probably fine. I honestly think it is.
It's really good for the immune system. Yeah. Other people's chewing gum. That's what they say.
How is he getting at the chewing gum?
Well, it's sort of stuck under the seat and he just picks it off. He came up to me and went, Mum, this is really minty. What is it?
If it hasn't already lost its taste, it can't have been chewed that much.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. That sounds pretty fresh.
How old is your child?
He's 6.
Okay.
He's not like 18.
My dog, his favourite thing in the world is street bread. It goes crazy.
Street bread? That's not a thing.
If you live in Camden, you'd know what street bread was. It's like half
really
a loaf of
hip bread.
Bread.
Yeah. What is street bread?
It's bread that is on the street. And have you tried coating the food in cat shit?
No.
Do you think he was a dog in a past life? Maybe that's what it is. And he's 6 years old.
He is, yeah.
Oh, let him carry on, love. Oh, it's fine.
Do you feed your child?
Margaret, you've got children. Do your children eat street food?
Yes, but only in the middle-class farmers' market sort of way.
Don't fill up on street bread.
You could just sort of consider your child to be like a Roomba. Do you know where those are?
Is it? Yeah.
What's
What's a Roomba?
A Roomba is a robotic Hoover that just does your house while you're out.
Yeah. Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
You're a lazy bastard as well.
Liz, has anybody helped?
Enormously, thank you.
Let's check the scores, producer Ben.
Michael and Lou have 2. Margaret and Ben have 6.
Wow. There are some questions the internet just can't answer, like, what am I allergic to then? In these instances, we need to ask an expert.
Ask, 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 ask.
You. So in this round, the panel have to work out what an expert would do in a variety of wonderful and frightening situations. So let's welcome today's trained professional. It's worm expert, Dr. Jonathan Pettit. Come and sit with us. So right, in a moment, panel, you're going to have to second guess what advice Dr. Jonathan would give in some wormy scenarios. But before then, you can get to know him better by asking some questions. So
I've often wondered, given how much money the NHS spends on gastric bands and things, could we not just give people a tapeworm? Because people with a tapeworm get thin because they eat some of their food, right?
Apparently the Egyptians did that, yeah.
And they're famously great at everything.
They were good at incest too. So.
Yeah. And cats, they like cats.
And slaves. I think I've maybe hit on a brilliant idea and no one seems to agree with me, but that's fine.
Yeah, what's the downside to giving obese people tapeworms? Is this what we're...
Yeah, there are people that treat diseases by giving people worms. You give people worms and you cure them of their allergies. Because I think the idea is that we get allergic to things because we're supposed to have worms. We all should have worm infections.
I know I do.
And our immune system gets confused because, well, there are no worms. So it just, well...
So given that you know that...
Yeah.
Are you full of worms? And if you're not, you're a hypocrite.
Yeah. To stop my baby being allergic to peanuts, should I give her worms?
Well, she might get worms anyway, because a certain proportion of children will get worms.
When I was little, there wasn't a week that went by when my mum hadn't bent me over the bath and was looking at my arsehole. Oh, God.
Michael, have you got
she
any...
She still does that with me.
Michael, have you got any worm questions?
Yeah. What is the world's fastest worm?
They're all quite fast.
Oh, that's lovely. They're all winners.
Yeah.
Do you feel bad when you eat spaghetti?
There was a time when I was working on worms that looked like a bucket of spaghetti. Oh, so, yeah,
I love it when people take my questions seriously.
What is your favourite worm?
The one that I work on.
Which is?
It's called C. elegans.
Work C. with. C. Come on, work with. C. Yeah. Give them some.
Well, yes, yeah, we collaborate. Exactly. Yes, that's right.
Yeah. C. elegans.
C. elegans.
And why is that such a magical worm?
Well, they're quite beautiful looking, and we
rainbow.
We can genetically engineer them so they're fluorescent using jellyfish proteins.
Wow!
So you know that's quite pretty.
Yeah.
So Lou's mum wouldn't have had to spend so long gazing up there. They would have just neon.
What worm do you hate? What's the worst worm? Is it a slow worm? Is a slow worm a worm or is it a snake?
No, that's a lizard.
It's a lizard.
It's a legless lizard.
Do you hate slow worms?
I hate them.
Yeah.
There aren't many of them. They're endangered now, so that's okay. Yeah.
Not because
of anything I've done.
Sounded a bit defensive.
I once read or heard that back in the olden days, if you had worms, the way that you got rid of them was that you would put a bit of bacon next to your anus and then it would sense it, smell it, poke out, and you grab it, you know, like a magician pulling hankies out of his sleeve. But I'm not sure if that's still the way, but
I don't think that was ever the way in any sense at all.
If you do it at night, that might work. So children generally have itchier bums at night, who are infected with worms, obviously not just generally, and that's because the females come down out and lay their eggs.
Bacon.
They lay their eggs at the opening of the rectum, so to speak, so that way the child scratches their bum and then transmits the eggs to others.
See, my mum never explained that to me. I just thought, oh, it's Tuesday. And here we go.
So here's our
first scenario, Dr. Jonathan, like all good scientists, has been in a long-running feud with his arch nemesis slash best friend slash lab partner. One morning, after a quick emergency wee behind some bins on his way to work and therefore a little distracted, Dr. Jonathan discovers his lab nemesis has scattered nematode eggs on his breakfast cereal, but he's already eaten several mouthfuls. What would Dr. Jonathan do in this situation?
So is a nematode a worm?
It's a round worm.
Can it get into your brain?
Some of them do, yes.
Oh,
yes,
and is yes. that bad?
It's usually fatal, yeah.
Oh. Oh. Does the worm then become you?
That would be awesome, but no.
What he would do is get a bit of bacon.
We've already covered it, right? Can you get worms out by doing the Indian snake charming thing? Does that work?
I don't think anybody's tried. Oh. It's worth a try.
I don't think he'd be that bothered by it because he appears to be with the woman who lets their kid eat everything off the fucking floor. So I don't think
that's
he'd be that
friend.
Oh, is it your friend?
I'm wearing her husband's shirt.
Oh, okay.
It's coming.
All right, then.
First time I've heard it called that.
Wow.
Oh, my
That's
word.
A lot of information. We're getting off worms, guys.
Did she like worms, your wife?
She was sort of ambivalent about them, really.
Yeah. That must be hard.
Is there a lot of sex goes on with the worming community?
The worms do a lot of sex, yeah.
Right. Yeah. But that must get you all horny. If you watch fucking all day long, you'll go, you know, I'm gonna do some of that.
How do the worms have the sex?
There are male and female worms, but they're also hermaphrodite, and they can mate with themselves, though. They make their own sperm, so they don't actually need the males, but the males are sort of hanging around.
So if you tell a worm to go fuck itself, it literally will.
Yeah, it might not even go.
I think he would make himself throw up.
Now, Michael, you're a vegan.
Oh!
What would you do if you accidentally eaten the egg of a nematode worm?
CPR.
Vegans are allowed to give blowjobs, aren't they?
Vegans?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They're just not allowed to swallow.
Oh, yeah, I can...
oh, it's spit.
No, we have to spit it back into the penis.
If you got a parasitic infection, would you ask the doctors to preserve the worms to save their lives?
Listen, I am very proud of my veganism. Is a worm really a fucking thing?
Wow.
Like, is it a thing?
Would you refuse the anus bacon?
That's the second time you've asked me that tonight.
Quorn do with their own variety. He could use that.
A bit of facon. Would they go for facon, Doctor?
Yeah.
I'm not even sure they're attracted by bacon, to be honest.
They're not!
So we've got Margaret says throw up. I think sort of the other end, like give yourself the shits.
Michael, what do you think Dr. Jonathan would do to get these nematode eggs out of him?
I know, he's going to wee them out. Wow, we haven't thought of that. He's going to wee them out. Yeah? Just keep drinking water and wee them out. I'm right.
Lou.
Wee them out.
I don't think he'd encourage them to leave. I think he'd keep them where they are so that they're like a unique arsehole experiment.
Actually, that is a very good point. Yeah, you're right. He would keep them and he would want you to now refer to him as Brundleworm.
Dr. Jonathan, what would you do in this situation?
Well, there's not much you could do immediately. You couldn't throw
up. Would you carry on eating?
I'd probably still be eating the breakfast and then find myself some drugs. There are drugs that you can take which will, they paralyse the worms so they can't hang on anymore and they just fall out.
Do you then pick the worms up and keep them?
Yeah, would you watch?
Yeah, I'd probably I'd have a look.
You'd keep them then?
I'd have a look, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'd probably also want revenge as well. So there's a certain type of worm. If you're infected by females and males, you're fine, generally speaking. because the females are kept happy. But if there are no males in the gut, the females will go wandering trying to find males. Yes. And so you can often wake up with a worm sort of doing that, sort of poking out of your nose. Or occasionally they burst your appendix. So that would be... I'd do the same thing, but they'd only be female eggs.
Oh, my God.
I think we've got the measure of you there.
Scenario number two for Dr. Jonathan. Dr. Jonathan has been in the lab for 8 days straight working on a new genetic experiment. He won't tell me what it is, but I like to think it's something that turns worms from being straight to being curly. Tired and emotional from watching too much Queer Eye, Dr. Jonathan makes a miscalculation and one of his worms gets massive. It is now the size of Michael Sheen and escapes from the lab. Out for revenge, it corners Dr. Jonathan in the kitchen whilst he's making some microwave popcorn. What would he do in this situation?
A worm, is this?
Yeah.
A worm
the
Michael
size
Sheen.
Of Michael Sheen.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it's out for revenge.
And is it in the guise of David Frost or Tony Blair? Like...
Yeah. It's just the size of Michael Sheen.
Oh, it looks like
it
a worm.
It doesn't look like,
oh,
it looks
Michael
like a worm,
Sheen.
Yeah.
I was thinking Charlie Sheen.
Oh, it's yeah, totally yeah. different size, mate. Yeah.
No.
Or Mr. Think? Sheen is very small.
So you do work on genetic experiments on worms?
We do,
so
yes.
This is a very plausible scenario.
Yeah, okay, let's go with it.
Right, it's a really big worm anyway. What would Dr. Jonathan do?
Ooh. He'd need to keep it alive, I think, for science. So you lasso it. You make a lasso out of a rival worm. And no, I've run out.
He's by a microwave.
What, just make a lasagna for it?
Is it on the floor or is it standing upright?
It's upright.
Oh, well, that makes all the difference.
Can it speak?
No.
Then how do you know it's out for revenge?
How do you know the shark in Jaws 4 is out for revenge? You just know. Genuinely, the giant worm isn't plausible, but you do experiments on worms.
Yes.
Do you ever try and get any of the worm's powers? Look, I don't know science, but... but I
really?
Do know.
Because you've been sounding so authoritative.
But I know life. No, right, if I was working with worms, mm-hmm. there must be...
Superpowers.
Yeah.
I mean, the superpower probably would be how many offspring they can make in a certain amount of time. The worms that we work
tiring.
On.
Tiring.
Well, they can make 300 offspring within about 3 days, and they're all copies of themselves, right, because they're making their own sperm and sperm eggs. So,
wow.
So they're making clones of themselves. In.
I think that's what's happening to my neighbour. She doesn't stop managing. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I think I would coax it out of the building...
With some bacon.
With a piece of bacon. Yeah. And then just push it in front of a van.
I'm trying to guess what he would do, Ben.
So what would you do in this situation, Dr. Jonathan? There's a giant worm.
So the key thing, I think, was in the scenario where I'm by the microwave making popcorn. Now, worms are attracted to the buttery smell that is put into popcorn. It's synthetic, so I'd probably... like throw a trail of popcorn to lure it away. Or they don't like garlic either. So if you had garlic, that would work.
So they're like vampires.
Mm.
So Ben's bacon up the arse.
Was close.
Not up the arse,
no.
Danielle. That's your augmentation of the scenario.
But it should be popcorn. Buttery
yeah,
popcorn.
A buttery popcorn around the arse.
And that's how you get the worms out.
Yep.
That might work.
Yep, well, I'll call NHS Direct tomorrow and they'll update the website.
Yeah, if you've got worms, just go to the cinema, drop your trousers, you'll be fine.
Thank you, Dr. Jonathan! So, it's time to do the wrong thing. All the panellists to tell me what's the wrongest thing to do in any situation, the winner gets a non-stop erotic cabernet. This round ends when producer Ben has a cry of passion. So, first question. You witness a cop killing in a men's toilet. What is the wrong thing to do?
Don't wash your hands.
Say, hello, hello, hello. What's...
Drinking milk makes you hallucinate. What's the wrong thing to do?
Drink milk.
Yogurt party!
Exhume Thatcher.
Oh.
just always wrong thing to do.
You unexpectedly appear on the FBI's most wanted list. What is the wrong thing to do?
Throw a big party to celebrate. put it on Facebook.
You find out the exact day of your death. What is the wrong thing to do?
Carry on living your fucking life exactly the way you've been doing this. Make no changes at all. And just wait. What I'm saying is it's happened to me.
You know those Thornton's Easter eggs? I'd get them to write it on that.
Is it, once you know the date of your death, do all you can to get booked on this morning on that day so you can be the first person to die in Eamon Holmes' arms?
Ah, I just died in Eamon Holmes' arms.
That's Eamon.
So that's the end of the show. To quote Hamlet, do you see yonder cloud that looks like a camel? Producer Ben, what are the final scores?
Michael and Lou had 4. Margaret and Ben had 11.
Woo! Well done, Margaret and Ben. Thanks for listening. Goodbye. Good night, King Richard. Luke Conran, Ben Carson, Mark Tables, Ed Michael Legg, expert guest, Dr. Jonathan Petter, and Ben Award. Thank you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.